So welcome back, everybody. This show is about flying monkeys, and flying monkeys relates to narcissism and being a sociopath. And people use those terms interchangeably, and they're actually not.
Mm-hmm.
So narcissism is somebody who's very selfish, very self-centered. It's all about them. They manipulate the people around them for their own benefit. And a sociopath is the same thing, but they hurt people in the process, and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about those two things is they're incurable, right? Because they don't have any responsibility, accountability. You know, normally they're a victim. And in that process, there's a concept called flying monkeys that we talked about. And that is generally a way of them rallying their friends or their group of people around them to help them be negative towards their victim or their person or whatever.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the flying monkeys have to be as toxic as they are to buy into the essentially BS, right? So you did a little bit of research today, which is cool.
I did a little research, which was fun. It was a good discovery.
So tell us what you learned.
Because, well, first of all, what it explained, the first thing I got into was that it comes from the idea of the flying monkeys in The Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
And how the Wicked,
that's where the term came from.
How the Wicked Witch gets the monkeys to go out and do her dirty work for her, mm-hmm. which is terrorize innocent people.
Right.
Of course, you know, with narcissism, we know that there's like nobody's victim, blah, 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 but whatever. Right. But, you know, when it comes to the monkeys, that stuff, you know, it's like they are who they are and they're doing what they're doing because they have a motivation of some sort.
Right.
So if it's in a workplace, they might be motivated because, oh, this is my boss, I'm getting a paycheck, uh-huh. so I'm going to do what they say. If it's a relationship, then they might have something to gain because maybe they just like drama, or maybe they have some tie to the narcissist and they want to see the narcissist succeed, mm-hmm. or maybe they have some personal thing where they want to see the relationship fail, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the flying monkeys are never innocent.
Right.
And definitely have, responsibility over themselves, and they are making decisions as they go through the process.
Correct. Yeah. Well, and the flying monkeys have to be toxic too. And we use that term, like that could be friends of an, like you said, at work, it could be in a relationship or, mm-hmm. You know, and here's an example is that, you know, you hear the story of two people breaking up, and then you hear the friends of one of the people in the relationship attacking the other person.
Yes.
When really, in essence, it's none of their business.
Right.
They only know one side of the story. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's a total toxic, unhealthy back relationship, you know what I'm saying, from the original one, right?
Triangulating.
And the only person who should be discussing a relationship are the people that were in it.
Sure.
And that flying monkey concept, that's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, you know, a concept. When I first started kind of doing therapy or whatever, I heard that term. That's mm-hmm. why I brought it up today, because I thought mm-hmm. it was interesting. Mm-hmm. We talked about sociopath. We've talked about narcissism and those things and how it relates. And that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It's a huge deal. And you even had like a personal, you're like, holy shit, that's what that's called?
Yeah. After I was listening to it, it can escalate the end of a relationship or even start the end mm-hmm. of a relationship
mm-hmm.
because, having been in a situation where someone's previous partner turned their kids against me.
Right. Yeah.
It was really hurtful and crazy to be in it.
Right.
And I was so confused and it was so hurtful and it was just so traumatic and trying to sort things out minute by minute. I had no idea until I sat there and watched that video today.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, that's what that was.
That's
because
what that
it
is.
Was, it was literally rallying them mm-hmm. and creating a story that was so not true.
Right.
And what happens with the narcissist too, is that they plant that story and they get the flying monkeys, you know, whether it's friends or coworkers or whoever, to go out and do that work for them and to make sure that they tear down the other person so that they keep their power. The whole thing is about them keeping power.
Absolutely. It's
fascinating.
It is. It's really powerful. The really powerful thing is that the people around them have to be toxic to do that too. But, you know, you mentioned something in the middle of a relationship that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the realization is and the truth is that if you have somebody talking crap about their partner, like the person they supposedly love or they live with or they're married to or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you better dang well know that they're going to talk shit about you.
Absolutely.
And as soon as you're not, you know, being able to serve their purpose or serve them, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most powerful thing too, is like when you see that, you know,
right.
or when you see or learn about people that have no relationship with any of their exes, things like that, you're like, man, that's really interesting.
That's interesting.
Like that must be mm-hmm. weird, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some of those red flags, right? And again, not judging or anything like that, but things to definitely discuss and explore. And see if there is truth in that.
Well, you know? And often what you'll find when you start to explore that is excuses,
mm-hmm.
Lack of accountability,
right?
Lots of stories about how, oh, my ex did this and she was crazy and she, you know, just all kinds of insane yeah. stories that when you put it together at the end of the day, there's no way all that can be true.
Right.
And obviously, right. If they've got three exes, it probably points back to them, I would
right.
say.
Yeah.
I mean, some of it does because that they're the one that they sure. keep taking everything forward, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, that rallying, it's almost like you're building a team against, you know what I'm saying? Like, and when you think about that, you know, you think about where people can exclude someone's partner,
mm-hmm.
right? Like if, you know, you're dating somebody and I was like, hey, Shelly, you can come, but don't bring him.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what they did, I'm basically saying, like, you can't do that.
Right.
You're either in or you're out, right? You're either a friend or you're not.
Sure.
And that whole concept of that dynamic, like, if you let me do that, then that's really toxic.
Sure.
And if I said that to you, it's really toxic. So once again, we have this toxic dynamic between us. You know what I'm saying? We almost sure. make like a trauma bond or a toxic bond.
Yes.
Even in a friendship situation, meanwhile, you have your partner sitting over here out of the loop, like that, there's not going to be any success in that deal.
No.
Because now you have to undo that and then fix this,
mm-hmm.
and there's lies on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
That creates this dynamic where, and it creates a habit too.
Sure.
Where you're always complaining about your relationship or whatever, or da da da, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you've been this relationship coach for so much longer and had, you know, more relationships than I had, but once you start talking outside of your relationship about your partner, that's a huge red flag in itself. Right?
Yeah, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too.
And there's a difference between, you know, some people think that not saying anything like you were saying about, you know, talking negative about your partner or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between not saying something negative or saying something negative and the opposite, which is someone thinking that you have to say, oh, he's amazing all the time. You
right.
don't have to do that.
No.
Because we
no.
all know that's bullshit.
Well, that's not true.
Everybody isn't amazing all the right. time. That's yeah. not possible.
That's not truth, right?
No, yeah. it's not true.
But the
which
way
is
you
also
say
a red flag when you hear that, right?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. That's the opposite.
Right.
And, you know, to your point, too, it's interesting because when you're in that situation, you can be like, hey, yeah, you know, we had this fight the other night or whatever, you know, da da da. But you're not like tearing them down, saying that they're horrible.
Sure.
And you know what? I could have done a lot better. And,
yes.
Hey, you know, what do you think? Do you think,
yes.
you know what I'm saying? Things like that. That's a different conversation than,
yes.
hey, check this out. Like, look how bad he is or she is or whatever.
Sure.
That's not okay. Like, yeah. that's like a red flag. You
right.
know?
Right.
A buddy of mine did that the other day. We were out running around. We went cycling or whatever. And he was chit-chatting away about that. And I was like, dude, you can't do that. Like, you realize you're destroying your relationship. Like, you're actually manifesting the end of your relationship mm-hmm. by doing what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get me to buy into the negative because I wasn't there. Like, you can't do that with one side of the story. It doesn't work
mm-hmm.
that way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask the classic question of like, hey man, what's your responsibility? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started climbing a hill so we couldn't breathe anyways. But
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it was interesting to just have that dynamic.
Yeah.
And I'm not, by no means am I better and I'm not like healed or a clinician, like I always say, but I do have the tools to ask the question.
Sure.
And be like, hey, what's your part in that?
Well, you know what you were missing. That's why.
Right. And oh, I totally do.
So you know what to ask.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think when someone starts doing that, they're, and he, you know, wasn't necessarily trying to make you flying monkey or anything like
right.
that to go back and attack his,
yeah.
his partner or something, which
be.
You would never do. But that's someone looking for someone to understand them and to feel heard, but he doesn't have the right language to
right.
do it in a healthy
exactly.
way.
Exactly. Yep.
Right? He's looking yep. for something, hey, this might resonate with Scott, so I'm
right.
going to tell him this story.
The other thing with flying monkeys, too, though, is to, you have to realize that when somebody's toxic in a relationship and they go to all their friends and they talk crap about their relationship,
mm-hmm.
they're trying to justify their bad behavior.
Yes.
That's a fact.
Yes.
And that's a huge red flag. And that's why I always ask, well, what's your part?
Or they're trying
like,
to twist it, manipulate it and twist it and manipulate
right.
whoever they're talking
right.
to see whatever their weird version of
right.
this story is.
Right. Yep.
So that if they have a relationship with the other partner,
uh-huh.
which they probably do, because
right.
normally they're doing this
Yes.
With someone that they're affiliated with, because they want to make sure that that person goes and says, oh, you got to forgive him. He just this and that. You know, why would my friend come tell me that? Right.
Right. You know, there's a pretty powerful story, and I might have told this one before, but this one's always resonated. It's always stuck in my head. Right. I had this friend that was telling me a story about how his partner was monitoring his phone. They were married. Mm-hmm. And not like that's legal by any means or anything like that, but she had an app in his phone where she could see what he was doing or whatever.
Wow, like and a 10-year-old.
Yeah. And you know, and he's like, yeah, you know, I'm getting divorced, da da da. And I was like, well, what did you do? And he's like, well, she was monitoring my phone. And I was like, well, why? Well, you know, because I was going to topless bars and I was doing this and I was, you know, getting girls' phone numbers and I cheated on her a couple times, and da da da. I'm like, okay, well, you know what I mean? It's like you're married.
So she's not divorcing you because of the app.
Yeah, it doesn't make it okay.
No.
But it's making, you know, there's an awareness there, but they're both wrong.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And there was probably a lot way before that.
Yeah. You know, so like there's all kinds of problems with that. Like there's legal issues.
Sure.
There's, you know, there's a lot of issues in that situation.
Yeah.
But that's back to that flying monkey thing, right? And then, gosh forbid, she would share that information or he would share information. That's like horrible. That's not... Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to come back at some point, some way, somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask that question, like, what'd you do? You're like, oh, shit. Wait a second. You know, well, I wasn't being truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing this and I was doing that. And that's the powerful thing, too, is when you realize that that person won't tell the truth. And they're like, what do you mean? I wasn't doing anything. I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that shit doesn't happen unless something's up.
Sure.
Like, you don't do that unless there's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that those types of things, you know, is interesting and powerful in itself. But the flying monkeys thing is such an amazing concept.
Well,
because you can't be a powerful manipulator without a crew.
True.
Right? Because if you have a crew, especially...
Well, it helps you build your case.
Yeah.
And for some reason, you know, I
without the other person even knowing it.
Right. And I understand
they're
a little...
Not even included in the case.
Yeah. And I understand a little bit about narcissism. I mean, probably more than a little bit. But they need that case.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be building a case so
to justify their shitty actions.
To justify what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
to maintain power, to control the narrative,
mm-hmm.
so that whoever it is that they're involved with
mm-hmm.
Stays in their mind where they are.
Right.
You stay here and just stay in your lane, and I'm going to do all my stuff to make it look like you're staying in your mm-hmm. lane. And that makes them feel better.
Here's the other thing, too, that this flying monkey concept. I read a lot about it a while ago, and I'm glad we're talking about it now, but the flying monkey concept works in another way, too. So the flying monkeys, you know, you have this team of people around you destroying your relationship along with the person that's narcissistic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But once the relationship's over, they have to keep that narrative of how horrible their ex was so that the new person they're with hates them, too. Because if they don't, then they might learn the truth. Or, oh, I know who that is, or I met them one time. God forbid they'd ever communicate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key thing, is when you're so negative about somebody else and you're so hateful to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
they're actually creating a narrative, them and all their friends or coworkers or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
This person was so bad, you can't ever contact them again. Because
mm-hmm.
God forbid the truth come out.
Because
God forbid you hear the other side of the story.
Yeah.
That's incredibly, incredibly, incredibly toxic mm-hmm. and a giant red flag.
Right.
You know, somebody,
absolutely.
Even after it's over, you're still talking crap.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have a conflict or whatever, like that's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge red flag.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another thing that I noticed too. I was at the lake the other day talking to a couple and they were telling a story about that exact thing where, you know, this couple broke up and then, you know, like people on the dock or whatever, it's like a little family or whatnot.
Sure.
They're all talking about this gal so negatively. I'm like, how could you possibly know that unless somebody was campaigning against them? Like, there's no way.
Sure.
And who gives a shit now? Because it's over. Like, let it go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, if I ever see them, I'd never talk to that person. And I was like, you don't even know that person.
Yeah.
Like, how do you even know?
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to believe all
because
the stuff.
Because of some perceived story.
And I was sitting there listening, and I'm like, man, these people are like, they're like really...
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say unhealthy, but they're really, you know what I'm saying? It was like one of those conversations where I was just like, man, there's a lot of questions here.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
of course I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, stay in my lane, whatever.
Yeah,
but
it's good to have that awareness.
But it's good to have the awareness, you know, and it's good to witness that.
And to see who people are.
And that was one of the reasons why I brought that up this morning about the flying monkey thing. Cause I was like, man, that's what that
this is. Flying
it actually clicked in my head, sort of like it did for you today.
Yeah.
It clicked in my head. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it didn't take much.
That's what happens when people are mm-hmm. like that, you mm-hmm. know?
Because I recognize it. and also it's just like, immediately when you start thinking about that, you just start thinking about all the times, all the stories, mm-hmm. you know, all the things, and just like I don't know, just like all of a sudden somebody send you a song. Haha, this reminds me of you. It's like, wait, that's really rude. Where'd that come from?
Right.
Oh, wait, he must have told him I was like that.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
And that's the thing, too.
That's
right?
Not cool.
Yeah. And you it's also a form of manipulation, like all the way around. Mm-hmm. But think about also, too, that flying monkey concept. You know, your partner can have this group of folks or friends or whatever that dislike you. Well, if that's the case, then why are you together in the first place? Yeah. Like, that's the first, like, really, seriously? So all your friends that support you and love you don't like your partner. That's a problem.
Great.
Right? You can't just say, oh, that's okay.
How's that going to go?
Yeah, that's not going to go well.
Right.
Like, there's no rest, there's no good in that. Either fix it or you move on.
Sure.
Right? The powerful thing, though, is that, you know, if you're in a relationship and your partner's like, nobody in my life likes you, that's hurtful.
Sure.
That they're saying to you, hey, I don't respect you. I don't value you.
Yeah.
I don't want you in my life anyways.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to give you a whole bunch of reasons to leave me alone because I don't have the self-worth and confidence to just tell you I don't want you around. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell all my friends that I don't want you around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to act like your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the sickest, most toxic thing on the planet.
Sure.
Right? In itself.
Yeah.
And that is a huge red flag, too. Yeah.
I mean, that's the beginning of alienation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. Which is control.
And then you can have lies and you can have a whole other life going on and all that kind of stuff. That's so toxic.
Sad.
The interesting thing is, though, now that we've discussed this, right, hopefully somebody in that group, if you were in the group of friends where they're trying to make you a flying monkey, you'd be like, wait a second, man. You need to freaking reel your shit in.
Yes.
And really evaluate what you're doing here.
Yes.
You need to handle your relationship on your own and leave us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But don't, like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in situations like that before, too, where I'd try and stand up for myself, be like, wait a second, there's no reason to have a conflict with me and these people over here because it's
sure.
Like, you don't even know the whole story. You know what I mean? Like, you don't even
right.
get it. But then you realize, you know, now when I'm looking back, like Robin has said, I would never be in that position again.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even give a shit. I'd be like, you just did that? All right, see ya.
Mm-hmm. Don't
have
waste
a great
the
life.
Because
it's never, it's never going to change, right? Like, somebody like that you don't want in your life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the point of this show is identifying that. You know, that would be such a huge red flag. That's either like, okay, we're going to have like an intervention or we're done.
Sure.
Like, you can't, that's not something you can wake up and be like, oh, I'm going to choose you. That's
no.
a serious issue. You know
it's
what I mean?
Serious. Yeah. And
almost
and
not fixable.
I have a couple friend and, you know, they had some stuff go on and the same thing happened. And, you know, I started getting phone calls at 2 a.m. to try to answer questions about one of them to the other.
Right.
And of course, I didn't answer my phone, and I knew what it was about.
Right.
I was like, what are you doing?
Right.
When your life has become a thing where you're calling me so that
their
I can
friend?
Answer
yeah.
a friend, so I can answer a question about
you can't admit
what's happening.
Because you can't admit the reality.
No,
right?
I know.
And that's the sad part. But at the end of the day, if we go back to the truth, none of this shit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go back to what Robin said about, you know, not being scared to be alone and not and being in a healthy place and all those things, because... You know, even if it's a narcissist or whatever, you still have to be toxic too to be in that, to
Absolutely.
Let that happen, you have to be toxic both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I know, me too.
Yeah.
And that's the message, right? Like, not only is it a red flag and something to question, but it's also something where you're just like, man, like, is this really where I want to be?
Right.
Now, we talked about sobriety too. And, you know, I had actually a relative of mine, I think, you know, I drove to Colorado Springs to visit and help out and whatever. Right. And the first thing I said to him, I said, you know, before you make any more decisions in your life, get to a place where you have sobriety, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're cheating on your wife or whatever, get rid of that. If you're drinking all the time, get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, be in a place where you can really make a conscious decision and evaluate where you're at and what you want without anything affecting that.
Sure.
Then make the decision, right? And that's a great thing to tell somebody is be like, hey man, make sure you're dialed in and grounded and sober in any way, and then make a decision. But you need to put things aside to make a decision, especially about a marriage, a career, a move, all those things, right? You don't want to make grandiose decisions. That goes back to a you know, an identity thing and that type of stuff and whatever. But that was a situation again where there was a group he was like building this case against.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He's
he's
leaving the military, he's moving, and he wants a divorce.
Mm.
Like, those are three major things where you're like, dude. And then he sits in the garage and drinks.
Take a breath.
You got to take a breath, chill out, reset, get sober.
Let's figure this out.
Then make decisions, right?
Sure.
Especially major ones like that.
Major.
But it's so hard to tell somebody that, right? Like, if somebody told me that when I was young, Gur, or even you, right? Yeah. Like it's hard. Rob's laughing again. It's hard to even understand that. But at least if you say it, they have the information and the tools. At least maybe it'll stick.
Yeah.
And they can maybe think of, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or it might hit him in 2 years or who knows.
Yeah,
but
man.
But at least you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to a really good friend, you know, somebody who I was super, super close to at one point, and we grew apart, but we've reconnected somewhat. And I was having a conversation with him last night, and I was like, man, I wish somebody would have, like, grabbed me by the neck and been like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like I left the fire service, I cheated on my wife, I changed my career. You know what I'm saying? Like all kinds of stuff. I lost one of my businesses. Mm-hmm. Like that's a lot of stuff going on where somebody needs to be like, whoa, wait a second here. You know, like if that happened to Nate or you or Rock and Robin, I'd be like, all right, like slow the roll.
Yeah.
Let's sit and, you know what I mean? Like really evaluate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a time to be like, oh, let's go. You know what's funny too? Is this, sorry, am I talking too much?
No.
Good. So it's funny too, like every time somebody has a relationship issue, you're like, hey, let's go grab a drink. You want to go grab a drink and talk about it? You're like, fuck.
Or eat ice cream.
I like the ice cream.
Right, the ice cream part, that's actually okay. But it's funny too. Hey,
ice cream at midnight.
Yeah, let's go get intoxicated and not be present and talk about your relationship.
Yeah.
That's a great plan.
And talk about why you're not present in your relationship.
Let's talk about why you're fucked up. No, it's funny though. It's funny. That's funny to think that we do that. That's like our thing, right?
Yeah.
And then you become a flying monkey because you're hammered and you're like, yeah, rah, rah, rah.
Right.
Yeah. Anyways.
Well, they have, obviously, it's somebody who hasn't felt heard and they just need to feel heard. So.
Sometimes, yeah. But sometimes they're also super talkative.
Sometimes people just need to verbally barf their stuff out.
Right, which is what
and
you're
having
that's
your someone job. There to listen is a good thing.
That's your job.
Yeah.
You did that with me a few times. How many times did I barf? I mean, well, you were barfing the other night because you got food poisoning. That's a different kind of barfing.
Different kind.
Right, I didn't mean to bring that up on the
that's
show.
Okay,
right?
I don't
you
care.
Know, but, you know,
it's
it is
okay.
What it is.
It was right? a bad right. shrimp.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
It's a bad trip.
Was it was bad
said?
Shrimp.
Oh, bad shrimp. I thought you said a bad trip. I was like, what?
No, bad shrimp.
I was like, oh.
Shrimp.
So.
Little tiny fish.
So anyway, so I mean, that's a fact. That's like a real deal. People need to understand that, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's a whole other level of manipulation, you know, toxic, mm-hmm. that type of deal. So.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Did you learn anything else?
Did I learn anything else? I just think that, let's see, how else was, there was somebody who was describing as campaigners too, where it was almost like the narcissist created as like a political campaign type mm-hmm. thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, I need to stay in my position. So these are my people. And they know who their people are.
Mm-hmm.
And then they very carefully go out and plant seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And they might not give them marching orders, but they plant seeds.
Oh, yeah.
And then they know who will deliver what seeds and
exactly.
drop whatever they need.
Oh, yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is super powerful.
And they are superior manipulators.
Oh, yeah. Superior. And most of those types of people are so, like, they don't have conflict with anybody. They just hang out, act like a victim, and make people feel so bad for them that they want to protect them.
Yes.
And it's usually people that are super toxic themselves.
And conflict makes them extremely uncomfortable.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep. Those are also the people that won't be able to break up, right? Like they're not the people that have enough self-esteem.
They're not
to
the
be
leavers.
Like, hey, this isn't okay.
Yeah.
They'll be like, oh, I never left.
Right.
But meanwhile, they create such a horrible situation that you almost have to leave.
Right.
Right. Or their friends blow it up.
1,000%.
Yeah. It's crazy.
1,000%.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you're, again, it takes two. And if you're there and you're conscious,
yeah,
it doesn't work out. But mm-hmm. you're right. I think campaigning is like the newer way to say flying monkeys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Flying monkeys. Funny, when I had my boutique, we actually had a brand of flying monkeys jeans.
Really?
Isn't that funny? Hmm. Wonder if it was made by a narcissist.
Very interesting. Yeah. Maybe. Maybe.
Cute little hip huggers. They were cute.
Yeah. Well, that's it on flying monkeys. I hope that helps a little bit. And, you know, one of the things we need to remember is that you know, there's nothing about this, the judgment, there's nothing about this that's saying, you know, people's relationships are bad or anything like that. But just being aware of what works and what doesn't work for you and then, like, what's really going on. You know what I'm saying?
And,
in this situation.
And just staying aware of the hearsay, too. If somebody comes to you and says something that doesn't feel right, sound right.
Right.
Or...
But there's always two sides.
And you know it's not truthful.
Right.
Step back and don't get into a conflict with them. Go to your partner.
Right. There's always two sides.
Or go to the person in the workplace, whoever it is that started it, and have a nice conversation. You don't have to create a conflict over it.
Right.
It's easy.
Everybody, thanks for watching. Scott Framler, Shelley Netco, The Mental Knot. Have a great day.